Well, I hope you are as excited as I am. I love this time of year. I love Christmas. Enjoy delivering the message of every year at this time. Again, I always sort of try to, I can't change the message, but I try to make it as if we are seeing it for the first time. That we might really understand the importance of not just these passages of scripture that we read through the Christmas time, but what actually transpired during what we call Christmas. Amen? And we talked earlier in the last two messages. First of all, we talked about why Christmas. We took it all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we talked about how we needed a savior, amen, because of what the mistake that was made, the sin that was done, and that caused a separation between us and God. And then we talked about last week about how it was going to come about to a young couple. Mary and Joseph were together, but it was done by God, the Holy Spirit. And so today we want to kind of just talk about what actually took place. What actually took place on that. And when you get into the, because I know all you're going to join us on January 13th as we get into Living by the Book. When you get into it, it says you want to begin to ask questions. And two of the questions we're talking about: how, why, who, what, when, where, all those questions, as you're reading the text of scripture, you need to be asking yourself. So today I'm trying to answer two. I'm talking about the who and the when. Amen. And I got that from the book, Living by the Book. All these questions that you want to learn how to do, I just line them up as I go through the word and I read the text of scripture. I'm looking for all of these questions that will answer you because it helps you to understand the passage here. And you do all that through observation. And so as I was observing the text of the scripture, it's a very familiar scripture, but one of the first things I had to do is I had to learn how to read like I was reading for the first time. You also get that in the Bible book. I'm telling you, I'll give you an illustration of why I need to join in on January 13th. When I go to this text, and I read this text, my daughter would tell you is that every Christmas, they couldn't touch a toy, amen, until they did two things. The first thing the mother made them do, they had to wash their hands, brush their teeth, and stuff like that. So the mother made them do all that. But they had to sit down and listen to me read this text of scripture every Christmas day. And whether they were paying attention or not, amen, they were going to hear this portion of scripture, Luke 2. And I pray you have your Bibles open, you turn them with me. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what happened on that glorious evening. Amen? Somebody wrote a song saying it was a silent night. Amen? There was a whole lot of stuff going on that night. Amen? It wasn't that silent. You got angels singing, you got trumpets blowing, you got shepherds watching over, they were having a good time. It was a whole lot going on, amen? And as I read the text, I hope you were trying to picture what was actually transpiring in those days, amen? Can you imagine you're out there, you're the shepherd, you're out there. Now, shepherds' lives are boring, amen? For the most part, all they're looking for is wolves and animals trying to come and get their sheep. Amen. That's what they're doing all day long. And for the most part, if they're in the same place and they've done beat down the wolf, they ain't coming in the same area. Amen. So the nights are pretty quiet. They're looking for robbers, you know, so, but not a whole lot going on. But all of a sudden on this night, it's like the sun came out. Amen. It was like it was daytime at night. And all they saw was the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came down. All they were, and then they heard all this noise, all this singing. Can you imagine what was going on in their mind? That's what you have to do. You have to be able to read the Bible. You got to realize that there are things that were going on here that it's not, we're not just reading this information. Amen. We're reading this to realize this is stuff that really happened and God did it just for us. Amen. Or to get you excited.
Amen.
Not that, matter of fact, you can read this next week after Christmas is gone, you still ought to be excited.
Amen.
After you unwrapped all the gifts that you got, amen, from Amazon, amen, Walmart, and all the other stores y'all be going to. After you get all those gifts, you ought to read this word and it ought to have some excitement to you, amen. Because the greatest gift of all was given to us all. Amen. And his name is Jesus. And he lives every day in us. We ought to glorify him. But I'm going to hasten on because I can talk about this well. Amen. You ought not get tired of hearing about the word of God. Amen. I come this way. I love the Christmas story. Amen. I always said that, you know what? If God has called you to preach, you ought not have no problem preaching at Christmas.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't got to worry about the text you're going to. It's there. My daughter was saying another thing because she was asking me, I think we've been watching, she wanted to watch a Christmas movie. I said, I got to prepare. She said, but I thought you already got December down. I said, well, I do, but you know, you still got to get in there. You know, I got to get in there and make sure, you know, I got to get excited. I mean, if I get excited, you might get excited. I just can't come here and read this and not get excited. A lot of times, but no, I read it just the other day. I read it Friday, I read it Saturday. I'm going to read it again when I get home. But I read this thing, man, and it just said, I said, I said, okay, Lord, I've done this a couple of times. You know, so what can I do? He said, just serve it. Don't cook it. He said, just serve it to him. He said, what do you see in the passage that you hadn't seen in the past 15 years? Huh? So what did I had to go in there? I had to find something new. And next year I'm gonna have to find something new again. Amen. And guess what he always does? He shows it to me. Like, guess what I found out about this while I was observing this text on Friday and Saturday? What I found out is three things. How come you always give me three things? You got early SBI, but it's like, and I'm looking at you, it's like automatically three things that jump up. I just write them down. That's all I need. Because there's a lot more than three things. Amen. I get three things just out of in those days. Now, somebody knows what I'm talking about. I can go within those days and I can get you three things. Why? Because, see, you got to figure out, well, what was happening in those days? Yes, like Bob Day said, what's going on? Huh? What's going on? And in those days, man, that was some crazy days, wasn't it? If you understand that he's about to, it was some stuff going on in those days. And see, and in those days, the Jews were waiting for someone. Amen. That could be point number one right there, amen. But it's not. But they were waiting for someone, amen. All the way back in Genesis, you know, the prophecy was still, we talked about that 3 weeks ago, there was a prophecy that there was going to be a seed coming. Amen. And they've been waiting all this time for the fulfillment of this prophecy. And in those days, guess what? Stuff was being moved around and shaken and stuff like that. And people had conquered people, and people had conquered people, and people had conquered people. Remember, they talk about the 400 years of silence? Like a silent night? It wasn't silent. In those 400 years, there was rumors and wars of rumors and things were going on. Alexander the Great was taking over people. Come on, that was a whole lot of stuff coming on, right? The Persians, the Greeks, and all them fighting. All of a sudden, then the Romans came. The big, bad Romans. And they came and they took over stuff. Amen? Now, they're the big boys on campus. Now they run the whole joint. Amen. And the Jews now are subject to them. And the Jews have gone through all of this idolatry, worshiping all of that. Remember, that's what got them in the problem in the first place, right? And they found out that guess what? These idols ain't working no more. Folks keep conquering us. We keep going into what? Captivity after captivity. And now we got this whole big Roman army that's taking over us. Maybe these idols ain't working. It's time for the Messiah to show up. There was some boys called the Maccabees. Uh-huh. And they said, we're going to get this stuff right. We're going to start going back to the word of God. And they started getting to the word, you know. And then they got some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And all these folks start coming together. And they start getting their religious stuff together. And they were going back to the temple. And all this stuff was happening. And guess what? God was just fixing all this stuff up. And so in those days, God was making sure, here's your first point, that the timing was perfect. Huh? Talking about time, right? Days, time, right? See, we're talking about a time period. And it said that also in that time, it was time for Mary to deliver. Huh? See, in those days, they had two kinds of time. There was a what? There was a chronos and a kairos, right? Chronos. Kairos, right? Now, chronos is the chronological, the sequential things that we do. You know, we look for patterns in chronos, right? And it's the way time goes. And so this is talking about that, but it's also talking about the other part, which is kairos time. And the kairos time is a proper, opportune time for action. Something's about to happen. A significant event is about to come about because things have been put in place. Got it? That God had already orchestrated. All those times that people were being conquered, you know, about the Medes and the Persians and all of that, he prophesied about that too. Amen. That's in the Bible. And he knew all those that are coming, and they talk about this big iron thing, big iron, the Romans are going to come, and they're gonna be the ruler. Then when they come, guess what they're gonna do? They're gonna build some roads called the Romans Road. Huh? And what happened was people were able to travel around and get to talk to each other. So all this stuff was being put in place. Not only did they have the Romans Road, they had peace. Huh? The Pax Romana, they had peace. And Rome had come, and Rome was so bad that Rome had everybody in control. What Rome? Amen? And so there was peace. And so people could actually go around without being robbed. And that's how they can go back and get the census and stuff together. See, the census was the time frame where all this stuff came about. And so God was just fixed. It was the timing was perfect. They had one language. And they had a lot of languages, but they had one common language that they were all speaking so they could understand each other. And it was called Greek. And so all of these things were happening in those days. Got it? You see why you got to go to that Bible study class? Observation. That's how you observe all of that, because that's what was going on. You observe, and it's in the text right there. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. That hadn't been done before. No, it's the timing. It's the timing. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and they all went to register, each to his own. And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth in Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. You see how the timing was perfect? Why? Because the prophecy said that what? He's going to be born where? In Bethlehem. So how are we going to get into Bethlehem? He's down in Nazareth. You think he's just going to go up there for nothing? He had to have a reason. And guess who did all that? God. God said what? The timing is perfect. Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time. All the dominoes had begun to line up. It was the perfect time. The fullness. Everything had been done that needed to be done. And it was time for what? This marvelous entry into life. Daniel 9 was about to be what? Revealed. Now, I got a good one for you. When after you guys finish doing Living by the Book, amen, Elder Eric Bradshaw is going to do a study on Daniel 9. I'll just give him a hint now. Amen. And that way he's going to break down the 70 of 7. Huh? And when y'all get and you get to understand all of that, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about as far as timing and how that time fit right in there. Those 409 years. And they only did 69 because, see, one more is still to come. So he's going to tell y'all about all that when he does that study for y'all. Like he did when he broke down Revelation for y'all. Well, the churches. That brother can do it. I'm waiting for it myself, bro. But you'll understand all of this, and I'm telling you, and it's all about the timing of all this. Amen? So the timing was perfect, and when it got down to it, he went up to Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David to be what? Registered with Mary. He just had to take Mary with him. Isn't that a coincidence? Why he just go? Because he wasn't really married to her, right? They were really just engaged. But he took Mary with him. Took on up there, right? Because they were going to get married, and she was with child. Isn't that amazing? She was with child. And here it is, that time again. Look, and while they were there, the time. See, what you do is when you read the Bible, you look for things that are alike. Time. See, this whole thing is about time, right? In those days, time. When up there, you know, all this is about the timing. He says, the time is right there. And the time came for her to give birth. Got it? It was what? The timing was perfect. That's not that how God works. He said, let's go on up there. Second part, because I got to hurry up because I got to play, I got to watch. Second part of this that I was observing, see, I saw it. I said, God worked this thing out of timing. But what I also saw there was that the transition was problematic. Right? The timing was perfect, but the transition was problematic. What do you mean? Well, how he went about doing all this, there were going to be some problems. Well, we talked about last week how the first problem was Joseph and Mary in the beginning, right? Because when Joseph found out that he wasn't the dad, he said he wasn't having that. Amen. He said, hey, no. He said, hey, look, Mary, I understand, you know, but we got to talk. Huh? It's problematic. And Mary, I can just see Mary sitting in there. Mary said, look, Joseph, I understand. I really did. You know what? I wouldn't believe it either. She said, if the Lord had not come to me, and if the angel had not come to me and spoke to me, I would not have believed it either. I just, but I'm just telling you what happened, you know. And but I know you need some space, so why don't you go to sleep, and I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna fix some tea or something. You know, you just rest a while. But think about it. And when the brother went to sleep, come on now, something in that tea. Because he started having visions, and then. And you know, and it wasn't what the use around Christmas time, your visions of sugar plum dancing in your head and all that. No, it wasn't that. It was the angel of the Lord again. Said, hey, look, Joe, knocking on his door, gave him the scoop, right? And when he woke up, he said, Mary, give me some more of that tea. He said, guess what? I believe you. We're gonna work this thing out, but there was still gonna be some problems there, because you know what? Because Joseph was a righteous man, and what Joseph would worry about was his rep. Come on now, ain't no man. Come on now. You worry about his rep. Because the fellas know he wasn't there, huh? And she went to visit her aunt. And when she came back and visited her aunt, come on, she was, and Joseph hadn't been there. He had to worry about his rep. She said, man, why don't you come on and go with me? We're going to get out of town for a while. You see how the story go? Said, come on, go with me and be out of town for a while. And we're gonna go up to Bethlehem. Now Mary is beginning to show now. Come on, now. She's getting it because she's almost time for to go, you know. And the problematic thing is that they had to go 90 miles. Yeah, it's 90 miles. They had to travel 90 miles and they don't have no Lexus. There's a problem there, right? You know, now I've never been pregnant. Amen. But I heard stories that when y'all pregnant, y'all have issues. Come on now. And you got to go 90 miles and you got to walk, most of them. Yeah, you walking and y'all be having them issues. Just being real. 90 miles, and this is now, you got to go through the hills. I'm telling you, there's hills. You're supposed to be flat land. There's hills in there. Look, go up there. There's hills. In fact, you can go over there now, and they do the tours and stuff. They show you all these hilly places up there. But if you don't want to go, just do like I do. Look at the video. And you see how it's rough land. It's rough land over there. And that's not a straight road. Amen? And you got to go 90 miles. And she's pregnant. And then guess what? They did all of that. And when they get there, Joseph forgot to make reservations. Right? He didn't call AAA or whoever. Who y'all call now? He didn't Google it. He didn't find out whether, you know, there was no Holiday Inn there. And when he got there, I know Murray was really upset. What? We don't have no place to stay. You brought me all, I was home. You brought me all the way up here, and you know my that transition was kind of problematic, wasn't it? There was a lot of issues going on there. But you know what? That wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest thing that was problematic was in the first, I'm sorry, it was in John, the first chapter, verse 14. And here it is. It says that, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen glory, the glory as of the only Son, the Father, from the Father, full of grace and truth. What do you mean that's problematic? What I mean is the fact that we're talking about the God, the only true and living God, becoming like us, flesh. You don't understand what that means for God, the creator, to become like the created, to put on flesh and actually to depend on two of his creations to take care of him and raise him up. He was a real baby. Amen. He couldn't take care of himself. Amen. They had the responsibility of taking care of God. The song I just read, when Mary said, when you kiss the face of your baby, you kiss the face of God. God had actually placed himself in their care. Can you imagine? I can't. I can't even fathom. And you got folk who were trying to kill the seed, remember? Herod chopped up some folk, didn't he, in Bethlehem? Killed a whole lot of kids, didn't he? Just trying to kill the baby. And Joseph had to have his wits about him to be listening to the Spirit of God to make sure he moved when God said move. Take care of the kid. This is what you got to do. And that's problematic. Because they can make a mistake. But the Spirit of God and God the Father had everything under control. And what I want you to get out of that piece of it is that even though everything seems problematic, if you just keep your hands in God's hands, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. He walked through that whole thing. Mary had the baby. She gave birth, and she gave birth to his firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no place in the inn. They had no place to go. They had nothing. And they wrapped him up in just like almost like diaper cloths. Amen. That's all they had, you know. And all of these things went on. And so it was very problematic. But God took care of all the difficulties, and he actually said, look, it's to the point where I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to come and be like you. And I'm going to live a sinless life. How many of y'all know that life was just as important as the death?
Amen. Amen.
No, it was. Yeah, the life was just as important as the death. He had to go through the entire human existence of life, being tempted like we are, but yet without sin. Because had he ever sinned, that was a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker. And he came out and said, I'm going to show y'all what it's like. He says, when you're trusting in the Spirit of God. Amen. And I am God. But I gotta do this whole thing in my humanity. I can't use my superpowers. Amen.
That's right.
It was like that time y'all saw Superman when he got rid of his superpowers. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that episode? Yeah, he had to get rid of Superman. He messed up. Amen. He messed up. I think Lex took him out on that time, right? Lex said, I got it. Lex, but see, Christ, when he came, he said he trusted his Father completely. Amen. I want to go a little further after Christmas. There was a baptism that took place. Amen. And he went down in the water and it came up and said, the Spirit of God, what fell on him like a dove? And all of a sudden, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't lose with that. Can't lose. No matter how many problems you have in life, amen, God will take care of it when you trust him. And he came, and like I say, he did all of that just for you. So the timing was perfect. The transition was problematic, but God got it. Here's the last one. The task was praiseworthy. Right? The task was praiseworthy. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. I was reading it, and that's what I saw. It said that when he did it, look at verse 8. It says, in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. Normal day, but something just spectacularly had happened. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Good news, gospel. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. Amen. Of great joy. You want to be excited about this. That will be for, look, all the people. Put your name there. Amen. For all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior. You ought to highlight that. Saving us from what? He's saving us from Genesis 3. Amen. See how you walk through from the first week to this time. See, you go back and Genesis 3 was still there, but the Savior, the rescuer is here to take care of Genesis 3. He's the seed, remember? Who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, who they've been waiting for such a time as this. And this will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were all these angels from the heavenly place. And look, they were praising God. The task, this event was praiseworthy. Amen. And it, look, what they're saying, it's happened. You've been waiting for it, and now it's here. It's praiseworthy. And so they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Peace. You know what they were looking for? What? Because they didn't have any peace. What? Because they were what? At enmity with God. They were at war. God and us, we weren't friends. Amen. We were his enemy. Why? Because we were sinners. And now you have a Savior who's able to take away the sin. John the Baptist says, look, here comes the what? I don't know. The Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sins of Oakland. That's part of the world, amen? He's taking away. He came to take away my sin. That's praiseworthy stuff. There was no way except his way. Had he not come, I was dead in my sins and trespasses. Amen. No matter how good I thought I might have been, I was going in the opposite direction. But since he came, he took it away. And that's what I mean. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those of whom he is pleased. He's pleased in you because you accepted what he did for you. It's goodwill towards men. And the angels went away, and the shepherds got to the point where they said, you know what? Let's go see if this is true. Got it? Because they hadn't praised God yet. They didn't. Now, they saw these angels, saw all this glory, but guess what they said? You got to show me. They said, because I've heard it before. And angels, guess what? Angels have always been showing up. Come on now. I understand what y'all are saying, but they said, no, we got to see this thing. Let's see what God is actually doing. And they went, and guess what? They found the baby just like the angels said they would. And guess what they did? They praised God. Look at verse 20. It's right there.
And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard. See, they heard it, but guess what? Then they what? They saw it. They saw it. She said, just like it happened. And that's why, you know why you should praise God? Not because we told you how to be saved. Because you actually did it, and now you see it in your life. See, it's one thing but to tell you the gospel. Yeah, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to believe he's born of a virgin. Amen. Yeah. You got to believe that he lived his life for some 33 and a half years and lived it sinlessly. Remember? And then what? He gave his life on a cross. We call the day of Easter. Remember? But he got up what? On the third day with all power in his hand. You know what? And he's coming back. Now, see, that sounds good. But guess what? If it has not affected you, you won't praise him. Because it's not real in your life. You say, well, I got to see it. No, you don't. You see it in you. You don't see it in me. Because I could be faking you out. Huh? That's right. No, you see it in you. I know that salvation is real because I've experienced it. Not because I've seen somebody else experience it. It's because I have it. I've seen it in me. I know for a fact I can't go back to the way I used to be. Can't do it. Can't. Why? Because of Christmas. I know I can't do it. It's real. I've seen it in me. I've seen a whole lot of folk change, but they can be faking it. That's right. The shepherd said, yeah, I see. I hear you say, but he's like, no, I'm going to see it for myself. And when they saw it, guess what? They believed. And once they believed it, they got saved. Yeah, that's what, see, the salvation comes in the believing. Because why? You're going to change that. You're repenting and you believe. And all that comes from God. And see, what I want you to understand is that the task is praiseworthy. Why? Because God did it just for you. Yeah, he actually showed you what? The long-awaited Messiah. Remember? That was why. And how? Through what? A virgin. Of Mary. Let me tell you this about Christmas. If you can't wrap your head around the virgin birth, that's okay. But you still got to believe. Yeah, you still got to. You don't have to. People say, well, I don't really, I heard about the Holy Spirit. I know. But see, I just can't understand. That's okay. As long as you believe. Amen. I don't even understand regular birth. Just being real, I don't understand it. You know? Don't understand. I don't need to. I just know what happened. Why? Because I'm here. I believe with all my heart that this story is true. And Mary was a virgin. And she birthed. That's why the scripture I said, it said, look, her firstborn. Amen. And then you go back in Matthew, it said he did not know her until after the firstborn. Huh? I take all that watch by faith. And I know what happened. These shepherds, all the angels, they got there and took it by faith. Okay, we're going. You know how I know they believed it? They told us about it. Don't tell me you believe me. You ain't telling nobody. They told folks. They were not telling everybody. The shepherds were out there witnessing the folk. And you know, folks might tell them, man, they don't lost their mind. They've been out there too long. By themselves talking to sheep. They don't lost their mind. Yeah. And that's, you know what our problem is? We talk to the sheep. See, sheep over there, the arm of the sheep, you know, all y'all sheep. Amen. We like hanging around sheep. Amen. That know the truth about what happened. But if you really believe it, you tell somebody. If it's really real in your life, you will tell somebody. Amen? Because see, you tell folks about what you believe. Keith won't stop talking about this team Marshall. He actually believed they won the Super Bowl. Ain't happening. He ain't no prophet. But if he tell me about Jesus and how he changed his life, I got to believe it. You know what? I know Keith. Amen. And God brought him a mighty long way. Amen. But when I believe it, I get into the word and I believe Christ, and all of a sudden, then I get transformed, and now all of a sudden we're talking in the same spirit, and I know what he's saying is true. It's salvation. Christmas is about God coming to save a wretch like me. Amen.
Amen.
Shepherds saw it, they did it, and here's the key. Emmanuel, God is now with us. Amen. That's what he meant. He said, that's why I read Isaiah for you. Emmanuel. And here's the last one I'll let you go and then get to this place. Is that the thing that really blew their mind? The glory at return. Yeah, that's why I read John to you. Didn't you get that part in John? Y'all, did y'all miss that when I said that? Look at John 1 again. 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father. His glory in return.
That's right.
Do y'all remember? Come on, do y'all remember in Ezekiel and all we're going to the Old Testament? Remember the glory had what? Ichabod. It had left. The glory was God. And now it's come back. And a whole new temple. Amen. Yeah, the glory of the Lord has been. That's what Christmas is telling you know, is that God is back. Emmanuel, God is with us. His glory is with us. And we can tell the world now. Amen. Joy to the world. Amen. Joy to the world. Why? He's come back. Good tidings. This is good news. Why? Because we can now be saved. We don't have to be separated from God anymore. We can be with him forever. And I don't have to wait to get to heaven to be with him. I'm with him right now. He's with me. Amen. The glory of the Lord. That's what I'm saying is that, see, the task is praiseworthy. That God did what nobody else could do. He came back for his people to make what we did wrong right. And it can only be done through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Beloved, that's the magic of Christmas. And that's why now I can get to a point now where I can celebrate Christmas every day of my life. Because I know exactly what God has done. And guess what? I know what he's still doing. Because it ain't over. When Elder Bradshaw does that Daniel 9, he's going to show y'all about that 70th week. Oh, what a time. What a time that's going to be. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. But when it does happen, and you're truly saved, you'll be there.
Sure.
Yeah, you'll be there. I'll be waving at you. I knew you were gonna make it. I knew. Hey, you're gonna speak. Hey, ain't gonna be no more of that shy stuff there. Come on now. But you was, I made it. So y'all act like y'all shy at that one. When you get there, you say, oh, Lord, I didn't know. It's only by your grace. Y'all gonna be screaming hallelujah. Come on now. Why don't you practice now if you're going to do it when you get there? Come on, you might want to get off the break. Amen. What a time that's going to be. All because of Christmas. Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for the truth of this word. God has changed our life by your spirit.
Yes.
And we know this is real because it has happened to us. Lord, I heard about what you did for other folk. But now I know what you did for me.
Amen.
And I thank you for that, oh God. What you did, God, is praiseworthy. And I give you glory. Oh, throughout my life. Bless these, your people, oh God. May we never forget. And always be excited about what's to come when you come back for your church.
that was Father all week. We love you because you first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is all yours. God bless you all.